Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Tuesday, July 28, 2020. We're reading from the Big Book and we're starting the doctor's opinion. First paragraph, reading through four paragraphs, ending with appear to have recovered. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Rhonda R., 12 Traditions, Laura R., and readers of the text, KP and Kathleen O. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, the 10 a.m. meeting is 15034. And for this morning, Tuesday's 7 a.m. meeting, 15059. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Rhonda R. will read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me to be of service today.
Thank you, Rhonda R. And Laura R. will read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Laura.
Thanks, Lynn. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Lynn, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're starting the chapter, The Doctor's Opinion on XXV, starting with the first paragraph, reading through 4 paragraphs, ending in appear to have recovered, and commenting on all. KP, could you read for us, please?
My name is KP. I'm from Malden, South Carolina. Gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. The doctor's opinion. We of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the reader will be interested in the medical estimate of the plan of recovery described in this book. Convincing testimony must surely come from medical men who have had experience with the sufferings of our members and have witnessed our return to health. A well-known doctor, chief physician at a nationally prominent hospital specializing in alcoholic and drug addiction, gave Alcoholics Anonymous this letter. To whom it may concern, I have specialized in the treatment of alcoholism for many years. In the late 1934, I attended a patient who, though he had been a competent businessman of good earning capacity, was an alcoholic of a type I had come to regard as hopeless. In the course of his third treatment, he acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. As part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. This has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship of these men and their families. This man and over 100 others appear to have recovered. I noticed several things in this passage. First, let me note that this was Dr. William Silkworth who wrote the letter, although when he first wrote it, he did not want to sign his name to this letter. It would have definitely hurt his career. But later, by the time this was in the fourth edition, I don't remember exactly when he did agree to sign his name to this letter, but this and another letter later, he did agree to sign his name to, because he was convinced by then that this was not just some kind of a fluke, that this was for real. And this man that was the patient, that was a competent businessman of good earning capacity and an alcoholic of a type I had come to regard as hopeless. That was Bill Wilson. This is another one of those coincidences that just couldn't really be a coincidence. It had to be God's hand in this. He was in for his third treatment, and he had been told that he was hopeless. He didn't know what he was going to do. There are times he even considered killing himself. Thankfully, he did not. He had hooked up with a friend of his who had brought the message to him about getting true spirituality, and you could be cured by that. Well, Bill did what his friend told him to do. That was Abby. And at first, he wasn't so sure about it. This was his last drunk after meeting Abby. And he decided he was desperate enough to try anything. So he did. And it seemed to work. He was thrilled. And he thought, I've got to share this. And he went around, found some more drunks, told them what had happened with him. They were desperate, and one thing led to another, and this was a rapidly growing community. And their families were just as thrilled as the alcoholics were. This man and over 100 others appeared to have recovered. If it had not been for coincidences like this, we would not have OA today. We would not be able to be recovered with this same message. Our addiction is just as real as alcoholism, and the same cure works for us. And I am eternally grateful for this. Thank you very much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, KP. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Janice Kate.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Kathleen O.
Yeah, I heard you, Kathleen. I didn't hear who was before you. Okay, would anybody else like to share? So far, I've got Kathleen O.
Melanie C.
Melanie.
Janice K.
Bruce E.
Ricky M.
Great. Okay, so far I have Kathleen O, Melanie C, Janice K, Bruce E, Ricky M. Was there somebody I missed?
Robin P.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let's go with that lineup, please. Kathleen O, could you start us off, followed by Melanie C. Please go ahead, Kathleen.
Thank you, Lynn. Good morning. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. So, you know, there were two questions I asked myself regarding this chapter, the doctor's opinion, was could I relate, and does what Dr. Silkworth write make sense to me? So this was a really important chapter for me. And that first word, we, to me, this is the spiritual we. The we, it's how this works. And I was told in the beginning to put a triangle, draw a triangle over the word we. God would be at the top. I would be on one side, and all of you, the fellowship, would be on the other side, because those are really the three really important things. And, you know, right off the bat, we hear that word must, and there's 103 musts, you know, the 164 pages, and there's also many suggestions. And, you know, suggestions, if you're going to skydive, it suggests you wear a parachute and you pull the ripcord after you jump out of the plane. And so the must is to have, or the requirements if you want the results. And if I was really willing to go to any length to recover, I needed to, you know, really heed these musts and these suggestions that I was hearing in this book. And Dr. Silkworth is telling us that hopeless alcoholics, you know, these were seemingly hopeless from a seemingly hopeless, hopeless state of mind and body, these alcoholics that tried everything. But he was telling them that this was, you know, they could find something here that worked when nothing else ever did. And I came in knowing nothing ever worked. I had tried decades of so many things. And this paragraph, as part of his rehab, he shared his experience, strength, and hope. And he was impressing upon the alcoholics he helped that they must do likewise with still others. So here's one of these musts. We have to pass this on if we want to keep it. And it's sort of the law of the universe. You know, if I want love and affection, I need to be able to give love and affection. If I want happiness, I need to be happy and give happy, you know, happiness out there. And I love this, the last part of this where it says, this man and over 100 others appear to have recovered. And, you know, that word recovered, so many people question that word recovered. And for me, it's recovered. It's not cured. You know, today I live in California. Does that mean I'm going to live in California the rest of my life? Who knows? But today I can clearly say I live in California. And today I can clearly say I'm recovered. And how do I know I'm recovered? Because I'm no longer fighting the foods that used to run my life that I could never stop thinking about. I have freedom from those foods. I can look at them and not think. I have no desire for them. And that's a miracle. And also the other way I can say that I'm recovered is those promises have come true. You know, I'm no longer fighting anyone or anything. And I will pass. Thank you so much, Lynn.
Thank you, Kathleen. Oh, Melanie C., it's your turn, followed by Janice K. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. It seems rather silly that I'm here today, but I didn't want to miss this. This is a piece that just really was a turning point for me because of the way that I was thinking before I came in here. And maybe you all think like I do, but it was wacky wonked, and I couldn't get any farther than what I was getting. I was getting worse all the time. And so when I read this and somebody was with me reading it, and we were sitting down taking a look at it, it made all the difference in the world that somebody credentialed, and he goes on to talk about that, as credentialed and experienced as this particular individual was and the heart that he had for trying to find a way out for the suffering, for the few suffering, not everybody. Folks got off the booze and they were fine, went on their merry way, but there were these few that could not, and that's me. I'm the real compulsive overeater. So it legitimized exactly what I was going through, from what I had thought that it was to being an untreated medical condition that worked beautifully with a particular kind of solution. He's kind of alluding to it in a vague way here, and that is to say that this particular gentleman had three treatments, came in three times. So perhaps the first two, you know, didn't do what we thought it was going to do by just get the ingredient out of the system here, and you can go on your way, do no more. Get that diet down, lose that 100 and some odd pounds, Melanie, that you were losing, and then that's it, and then you go on and back to what you were doing before, and it never worked. And this opened up something different. What came after that, and what we're talking about here, is that the doctor observed something that he hadn't before, and that is there were some ideas for a treatment that this gentleman acquired that made the difference, that bookended this deal, that we'll learn more about and it'll roll out to be history at the next point. But it saved my life. It legitimized what it was that I was doing, where no other doctor, therapist, lawyer, Indian chief, whatever it was that I was seeking for in terms of spirituality or true treatment, never worked. I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. I had to do this clear until I was 50 years old all those years ago, still looking for. And the truth of the matter was that this particular piece, with the Dr. Silkworth saying, Melanie, you're okay. It's not a moral issue, darling. It's just untreated disease, and you had it all wrapped up and convoluted into something else. But here we're going to pull this thing apart, and this particular textbook is going to explain exactly what the difference is. You follow it precisely, woman, and you are going to have an answer, a solution to all of your problems, all of them. And I'll let you know. I had a bucket full when I came in here, and now I'm free. Neutral and free, and a solution when something else comes up.
Thank you, Melanie C. Janice K., it's your turn, followed by Bruce E. Please go ahead, Janice.
Thank you. Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. What this section says to me and says over and over is listen to the people who know. What we have is a plan of recovery from medical people who specialize in alcohol and drug addiction. It's given to us by a doctor who has years of experience. And it concerns an individual who was an alcoholic of a type that he had come to regard as hopeless, so far as medicine was concerned. In the course of his third treatment, we take multiple treatments sometimes. I don't know how many times I've started over, but thank God I have. So that, to me, summarizes this particular section. Find someone who knows and listen to them, and then do as they suggest and what they've done. Thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. Bruce E., it's your turn, followed by Ricky M. Please go ahead, Bruce.
Yes, this is Bruce E. I'm recovered in Florida, and glad to be here today. Thank you, everybody. Let's see. Bill's hopeless. How do we know he's hopeless? Well, he tried to do it himself. He couldn't do it. So I was hopeless on the food. I couldn't do it myself. Still can't do it. A power greater than myself has to come in to do it. And 100 appeared to be recovered. So the doctor observed that. So what's my state of mind right now? Well, my state of mind is I'm agitated, I'm upset, I'm fearful, and I'm resentful. That's the way I am right now. But I'm recovered. So what does that mean? If I have all those character defects, of course, I know I need to write a 10th step, which I'll do. But if I'm have all those negative emotions and I'm recovered, how can I be recovered if I have all those negative emotions? Well, the difference is before I'd have all the negative emotions and then I'd eat, you know, or act out somehow, mostly eat. So today, the obsession and the compulsion has been lifted, which is an absolute miracle. And I'm neutral with the food, and I'm not thinking about the food. So that's the difference, is got all the negative emotions, but not thinking about the food. I'm not thinking about lunch. You know, I already had breakfast, not thinking about lunch. And not thinking about dinner. And I feel, you know, pretty much at peace with food. I don't think about it much anymore. That's the recovered for me. It's amazing. It's got to be a miracle. It's got to be something that a power greater than myself does, because I tried doing it myself for years. Couldn't make it. Couldn't do it on my own. Frustrated, upset all the time. And mad at people. Mad at myself. And all that. So, still have a lot of the emotions, but man, don't have to go back into the food anymore. Don't have to do that. So, thank God that Bill didn't take his own life. Thank God I didn't. I wouldn't be here today if I'd taken my own life. None of us would be here today if we'd taken our own lives or died in it. Bill didn't. Got recovered. Went on to help millions, including me. So thank you, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Ricky M., it's your turn, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Ricky.
Hi, this is Ricky M., recovered in Philadelphia. Wow, the reading, I love this reading. It reminds me, and I've mentioned this before, I've watched this show about food addiction, and people spend a lot of money in rehab and in food, facilities, like a lot of money or insurance, like they, people telling them what to eat and what to do. But what I didn't notice in the show was like they weren't talking about program. And so this is what he's talking about. You know, he's seen people at his office that are hopeless because maybe they can get clean in a facility. But what happens when they walk out? What are the skills that they're walking out with? And who are these people that are giving them those skills? In this facility, you might have anorexia, but you have overweight people that are checking them in. And so, like, there's a little bit of a disconnect. The key component of a program that works is, A, that we understand each other, we're all in this together, that the people that are helping you have been helped and are in the process of helping themselves still as they're talking, and that it's not just about do this, and you must do this within the framework, and as soon as you walk out, too bad, whatever it is, it is. What we're giving each other is this will help you wherever and however, wherever you are. Because once you give somebody in a higher power, someone greater than themselves, they're never, ever alone. So now when they struggle, because life is a struggle, we're not saying the struggles are going to disappear and they're going to be gone, because, oh my, if I would have known coming into program that I would still be here a year later in such a struggle of life, I would have been like, yeah, what do I need this for? But a year later, at least I'm not in the food. At least I can deal with the struggles as they come with an amazing higher connection with my higher power, with a connection to people. You know, the disease isolates us. It's a control. We just want to take care of it ourselves, so we eat. Instead, now I need my higher power, and I need to cry, and I need to sit in the pain. And then if I really need help, there are human people that I can go and ask for help. Someone once told me if someone dies out of starvation, it's suicide, because they could have asked for help, and they would have been fed. And it's the same thing here. If someone dies in the food, it's suicide, because they could ask for help. They can get help from other people. And people, everybody's here. You just have to want it badly enough. And that's the gift that these forerunners that have given us, they've been here before, and they're like, you know what? You might seem helpless. I've tried. I've been looking. I get, in the Google, it gives you the pictures from last year and the year before. 3 years ago, I looked like a mess, and I've been skinny before, and I've lost weight before. Why did I look so bad? And again, last year, I looked terrible, and I've been in between. I've lost 30 pounds and gained back 40. What's going on? I can do it. I can lose weight. You know, like the people that say, I stopped smoking 100 times. That was me. I've lost weight so many times. What is it? And I didn't even care about being fat. It was the unmanageability of my life, and it came out in the weight, and you saw it in the weight. Sure, I'll just wrap up. And the gift of being here today in the struggle, in the pain, with an amazing high connection with a higher power and a group is amazing. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky M. Robin P., it's your turn. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, and really grateful to be on the call today. I think that it takes so much bravery for people when things are just starting out, because there's 100 at this point, for a doctor to say, here's my letter, and to put his reputation on the line as time went on, Skeptics. It's just like any startup. I'm an inventor, and it takes up time for people to go, wow, that's cool. At first people go, that won't work. And then when you create it, and then it does work and it helps people. you know, it's just this process, you know, like the Wright brothers, like it discusses in the book and other places, of acknowledging and accepting the new miracle and manifestation of recovery that was never known before, you know, and hopeless. You know, he uses the word hopeless. He regarded them as hopeless, and now all of a sudden there's hope. And, you know, he knows there's skeptics and you know, that this is a spiritual program. Wow. You know, and he's a physician, you know, and it's based on a physical allergy and a mental obsession. It's all just new, such new thought instead of, oh, wow, that guy's a drunk. He can't get his life together. You know, wow. It's just, and we're going through a lot of new world changes today and just opening up to new forms of recovery and new modes of recovery, but it's still based on the 12 steps, and it's still based on this spiritual foundation and, you know, the mental obsession combined with the physical allergy. And the solution for that is staying in the steps and being of service to God and my fellows. And, you know, all I have to do is keep following the successful solution to stay in the successful solution. And I'm really grateful today. We are going through a lot of changes, and this is my spiritual foundation. And I'm so grateful for the calls. They're so centering and grounding no matter what's going on. Thank you for being here. I'm so grateful to be abstinent recovered today. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, we are studying the doctor's opinion on page XXV, starting with the first paragraph, We of Alcoholics Anonymous, reading through four paragraphs, ending in Appear to Have Recovered. And we're sharing on all four paragraphs. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we thank you. We ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or Friday, please step back and let others take their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. So I believe I heard Laura M.
Yes, ma'am.
Anyone else?
Mo H. Did you hear me, Mo H?
Yes, Mo, thank you. I have you.
Okay, thanks.
Karen F.
Sorry, was that Karen?
Erin.
Could you spell it for me, please? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Sure. E-R-I-N, and the last name is starts with an F, as in Frank.
Sorry, somebody just beeped while you were spelling your name. One more time, please.
Sure. It's Erin, E-R-I-N, last.
Got it. Thank you, Erin. I've got it now. I'm sorry about that. I have Laura M, Mo H, and Erin F. Who else would like to share?
Margo P.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, our lineup is Laura M, Mo H, Erin F, and Margot P. Please go ahead, Laura.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you can be heard.
Okay. Okay, awesome. Good morning. This is Laura. I'm recovered in New York. I'm very happy to be here this morning. And I'm so glad everyone else is here as well. And in reading this morning, some of the things that popped out to me was in the very beginning when he says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the reader will be interested in the medical estimate of the plan of recovery. And at some point, the medical estimate of the plan of recovery had said to me that this would be one component of the recovery. And we know there's, you know, the physical, the medical, the spiritual. And, of course, to have a doctor that would represent the medical part of what he's seen and what he's experienced through his practice, especially somebody that's nationally prominent, is really something very special. And to have to take seriously when he says, you know, in all his patients and everyone that, you know, he has spoken with, this particular gentleman is somebody that he come to regard as hopeless. I'm sure at the beginning of his practice, there was probably a lot of hopeful. And then after seeing, you know, so many people, I'm sure there was some sort of system. And I, this the word acquired sticks out to me with this way of thinking. And I had relapsed a lot, and in this particular last time, there has been thinking that has been acquired. And with my higher power in particular, I just am truly living in the promises right now. And a lot of it, of course, is service. And each one of these things is a part. The service was a part of his rehabilitation. The medical estimate is a part of what this disease, you know, one component of this disease. And for me, in reading this, it is just really helpful, and it breaks it down. And obviously, it seems to be an all or nothing disease in our thinking. And sometimes coming in, we think it's an all or nothing solution. But there is parts that, for me, that had to be worked on and practiced and showing up and having the willingness. And then as each component would come together, recovery was happening and the promises were happening. And I'm just so grateful to share that and be part of this community. And thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura M. Mo H., it's your turn, followed by Aaron F. Please go ahead, Mo.
Yes. Thank you, Lynn, for your service. Good morning. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. So, we of Alcoholics Anonymous is exactly the same phrase that's on page XIII, which is the forward to the first edition. It says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, he starts here in the doctor's opinion, which isn't even chapter one, which I rarely, probably never read because never started with the pre-things. I always started with the chapters. But anyway, and the other issue I had for many, many, many years, because I am recovered for the last 4.5 years, was I never identified in with what was being said. I always looked at ways of rationalizing and identify out that I wasn't as bad as anyone else. I didn't have that much weight to lose. I could control my weight, you know, by dieting. But then when I was turned on to this book 4.5 years ago, even though I've had it for over 25, turned on by my sponsor and really started dissecting everything from the first pages, you know, that are in the X's and the V's, that I really started to see, yeah, I'm like that too. You know, I'm one of those people who, you know, I felt hopeless. I diet and then, you know, gain weight. And the acronym for HOPE, one of them that I have, is Hear Other People's Experiences. And then I would add to that, identify in with their experiences. When I hear other people like me, then I can relate. My husband does not understand this disease, and that's okay because he's not one of us. You know, he eats his three meals a day. So, and the last thing I wanted to focus in on is there are two promises in this first paragraph. Number one, it's the we of Alcoholics Anonymous. That is a promise. And the very end, this man and over 100 others appear to have recovered. That's a promise. So when I got on this line and heard that for the first time and questioned it, recovered, and my sponsor said, means you have neutrality around the food and you've worked all 12 steps. Made sense. Yes. So, yes, I am recovered. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Aaron F., it's your turn, followed by Margot P. Good morning, Aaron.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. I'm Aaron, food addict, calling from New Hampshire. And
Aaron, could you speak up a little, please? It's hard to hear you.
Sure. Hopefully
perfect.
That's a little better. Okay. Sorry about that. So I'm Erin, compulsive eater and food addict, calling from New Hampshire, and I'm so grateful to be here. I think this is an absolute sort of nudge from my higher power, because I am just about to start working on the Big Book steps with a new sponsor. I've been in program for a couple of years, but I had not worked the Big Book or the steps through the Big Book. So, you know, after sort of some basically a relapse cycle, I decided that and started calling into these meetings, I realized, you know, there's so much recovery in this method that, you know, this is nudging me to take this step. And ironically enough, I'm actually starting with the doctor's opinion either today or tomorrow with my new sponsor. And it's just, it's so wonderful to read this with other individuals and hear their experience and strength and hope from, you know, having read it, whether it's multiple times or, you know, together as a group. And what stuck out to me, ironically, was sort of the part that says, in the course of his third treatment, he acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. And for me, you know, I definitely sort of feel that idea of like third treatment, you know, as if like, you know, I've had several relapses and binges and, you know, nothing has really worked. And when I think about the, he acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. For me, when I'm in that cycle of relapse, those ideas concerning a possible means of recovery are sort of that easier, softer way. You know, how can I sort of push back and cut corners and do the bare minimum that's basically not going to get me recovery? And, you know, I finally came to that realization within the last like month or so that clearly, you know, my method of sort of banging my head against the wall and pushing back and not surrendering is not working for me. And obviously the ideas that Bill has come across, you know, by the time he completed this treatment and, you know, sort of founded AA were the right ones, the ones that we are following today that are in the Big Book, you know. But for me, what I was trying to do was create my own program, basically. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I don't have to do that. It is outlined here, and clearly it is working, because the people on this line and that call in and sharing these meetings are recovered. You know, they are neutral about food, and that is, I have so much hope that I'm taking the right steps. And so I'm so grateful to be here and to share and read this with all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Erin F. And Margot P., it's your turn. Please go ahead, Margot. Press star 1 to unmute. Okay, we don't seem to have Margot available. So we are reading from the doctor's opinion, the first four paragraphs, and sharing on those four paragraphs, ending with appear to have recovered.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, there you go, Margot. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Margot. I'm grateful to be on this call. Another day of abstinence. That's the thing about this program. It's another day of abstinence. I lost a son, but I'm just grateful to be on this call, to know that I'm a compulsive overeater, and to know that I have the disease, to know that I cannot do it alone, and to know that I have a support in Overeaters Anonymous. And hearing that paragraph about the doctor's opinion, you know, in regards to Bill, you know, there was a time that I wanted to give up. There was a time that I just wanted to jump. There was a time that I just like no more, no more pain. And the weight was killing me and the health. And it's like, today I don't have to go there. I have been in program almost about like 2 years, but then I let go after my son passed. And I binge into my food. And so I'm grateful to make it again. My sponsor said, get back on track and get back on the tools. Don't do it alone. And disease talks to me. Yes, it was talking to me. And grieving is not easy for me. This is my first time. In grieving, I don't like it. The grieving will take me to food. It really will take me to food and numb me. But I need to feel the feeling and deal with it. So I'm just grateful that everybody shares experience, strength, and hope. And in the big book, the Bill W. and Dr. Sapinian, where he talks all the type. And I was one of those types. And the type is I'm a compulsive overeater and can't do it alone. So I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Margo. We have time for one or two more shares. Who would like that time, please?
Nirvana A.
Your first name again, please.
Nirvana.
Thank you.
Terry M.
Terry M. Perfect. We have Nirvana A and Terry M. Nirvana, please go ahead.
Good morning. I'm calling from California. And what I'd like about this reading is that Dr. Stillforth is not very proud, and he is admitting that medicine doesn't have the answer to this type of alcoholic. And he is willing to listen to a businessman who has another piece of the puzzle. So together, they're working on this together and putting the pieces in, so that everyone else can benefit from this. So that's what I really like. Even today, sometimes medicine doesn't have the problem, and we see, like, sometimes the parents, like that Lorenzo's oil, sometimes the parents come up with a solution because they are so desperate to save their kids or their loved ones. And it's good when the medical profession listens to us, like the layman people, and together we can collaborate. And that's all I have to say. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nirvana. And Terry M., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Terry M. in San Antonio, Texas. One of the things that I loved about going through this part of the big book was, you know, we're still very close to the beginning of the book. And so one of the things that my sponsor did was really drive this section home to me, you know, because I'm a compulsive eater reading something written to alcoholics. So things like when it would say, you know, the medical estimate of the plan of recovery in this book, she would ask me, well, are you interested in that? And I would be like, well, yeah. She'd be like, well, why? Well, because there's nothing else that works, you know. And then a little later when we read that other things that had come to regard as hopeless, and she would ask me, are there areas of your life where you feel hopeless? Like, well, yeah, how long do you have? Let me tell you. So then when she gets down to, you know, talking about how him and 100 others appear to have recovered, she was like, I don't know about you, but it's hard to argue with 100 people. You know, this isn't just one person's personal opinion. And so it was little things like that that kept peeling away, you know, peeling at that prejudice, those old ideas that I had that I could still do it myself. And that's what I have found so important as we continue page by page through this book. That's all I have. Thank you all for being here. I pass.
Thank you, Terry N. Thank you to everyone who shared and to our terrific Team Tuesday who did service in the month of July, Rhonda R., Laura R., K.P., Kathleen O., Don B., Roz G., and Leslie M. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Kathleen O., could you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.